You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. I hope that you all are ready to go to infinity and beyond! To go to where no man has gone before. Make sure you smash that thumbs up and subscribe if you haven't. Shout out to my patrons and my channel members. This author is absolutely fantastic, and he has a book on Amazon right now, so go check it out in the description down below. Now, let's go to Mars. The first manned mission to Mars began well enough. Launched without the knowledge of the general public, it lasted for almost a decade, silencing the naysayers in NASA and aboard. It was by all measures a success, until a series of unfortunate events occurred. These unexplained phenomena brought the entire project to a crashing halt. All contact was lost after 9 years of successful habitation on the Red Planet. Something tragic had happened to the crew, and at least one of them had seemingly gone insane. It was suspected that Science Officer Nathan Flanders had killed the rest of the astronauts on the mission, and had taken his own life following his final transmission. That's where the four of us came in. We were set to conduct a salvage operation and tasked with surviving against all odds on the barren planet's surface. Instructions were to use what we could from the old base. The multi-billion dollar array of advanced equipment was invaluable and some of it was reportedly irreplaceable. Our flight and landing on the surface went well, proceeding without incident. And the four of us were jittery with anticipation as we made our way from the landing craft to the launch, which led to the underground habitation unit. The area surrounding us looked surprisingly similar to Earth, a desolate desert region scattered with flat rocks and boulders, and a sheer wall of rock that jutted out from the ground upwards stood just behind the old habitation unit's coordinates. We bounded towards the hatch, stumbling awkwardly in the lower gravity. I felt occasional moments of success when a step forward was executed just right, but otherwise my ambulation was awkward and clumsy. I fell over at one point, and bounced back up after a couple attempts. There was a small smile stretching across my face though, and I looked over to see Denise was doing the same. We couldn't help it. We were each fulfilling a long-term dream, and despite or perhaps because of the tension of the situation, we began to grin like idiots and laughed. Finally, we reached our destination. Raymond pried open the hatch door. Dust and sand poured off the flat surface as he heaved it open. Clearly, it had been a while since anyone had gone down there, into the pit blackness below. The possibility that anyone would still be alive in this habitation unit was unlikely if not impossible, but we had to be prepared for nearly any situation. There had been enough food and water supply for one man to survive, and we were told that there was a slim chance we would be forced to defend ourselves if compromised crew were still alive down there. Last contact had been with Nathan Flanders, and failed mission science officer. He had claimed that something was down below, in the area being dug out from the base's expansion, some sort of organism, and that it had infected the crew. He had called it telepathic slime mold, according to reports. Ridiculous, of course. Nothing could live in the freezing temperatures of the caverns beneath the surface of Mars. It was far too cold for that. But the rationale for that specific delusion made some sense. Flanders had researched slime mold extensively during his formative academic years, so it seemed to follow logically that he would revert back to thinking about it during the mental break. At least, that was what the psychoanalyst back at base thought, that there was some traumatic event underlying all of this that he had failed to disclose on his psych report. As we climbed down into the habitation unit, I began to suspect that we had been wrong to think he would be lying. That we had been wrong about everything. Whispering voices were speaking in my mind, but I dismissed it as nerves and adrenaline, my overworked mind playing tricks on me. The darkness was total as we descended the ladder. By the time we got down to the floor and switched on our headlamps, it was too late. The hatch slammed shut from above us automatically, and we looked around in horror to see that the controls to open it up again had been covered by yellow slimy webbing that withered and pulsated as if it was alive. It was disorientating and surreal for that moment. I felt like a fly who had fallen into an elaborate labyrinth spiderweb. It surrounded us in spiraling whirls that enveloped everything in many-stranded maze of stringy slimy mold. All of the habitation units and its high-tech interior was covered with the stuff. It was built up on the walls and on the ceiling, covering the floors and leaving only the ladder and a small space around the base of it open, as if waiting for us, not wanting to alert us of its presence, not until it was too late and we were trapped. The yellow webs withered and moved all around us, reaching out tendril-like towards us from the walls and stretching out to touch us.
"Oh my God. What is this?" I heard Isha whisper breathlessly through the radio.
He was right. It wasn't a delusion. It was all true.
"We need to get out of here now!"
The captain ignored me, moving forward despite my objections.
"Hang on," said Raymond. "We have to see if we could salvage anything. Maybe we could do something to get rid of this stuff."
At the mere mention of that, the yellow slime mold began to wimp itself into a frenzy. A piercing ringing noise invaded my mind, and my ears felt like someone was stabbing into them with sharp pins. My knees buckled from the pain and I nearly fell to the floor, but the sensation subsided a few moments later and we all relaxed.
"Why do you seem the least bit fazed by all this?" I asked Raymond, suddenly suspicious.
I felt like he was the only one not really remotely surprised by the fact that Nathan Flanders had been telling the truth. There really was life on Mars, and it wasn't human.
"The three of you would never have came if you'd known the truth," he said under his breath. His words were in monotone, not sounding like himself at all. "Besides, it was classified."
"You knew?" I shouted at him in rage. "How could you drag us here knowing this mind-controlling slime was real?"
As I spoke, the yellow gunk was stretching, spreading, and climbing up the boots towards my ankles. I tried to push it away with my hands, but it got stuck in my fingers and expanded, rapidly growing up my hands and onto my wrists.
"We need to get out of here," I said, no longer caring what he was going to do. "We need to get back up to the ship."
"To do what? We need this place. There's no way the four of us will survive here without the equipment that's in the HAB unit. It took over a decade to get all this set up. We just came to try to pick up the pieces, remember? You want to give up on that already?"
When he said it like that, I had to think twice.
"You have a plan, right? Something that you didn't tell us about? Another secret you kept from us?"
A grin spread across his face.
"You damn right I do. I'm trying not to think about it too much, though. since we're not alone in our minds anymore. Try to think about something else. Golf or something, okay? Just don't think too hard about what I might be planning to do. This slime stuff ain't gonna like it. I nodded, resigned to follow him a little further. We had come this far after all. We continued deeper into the narrow confines of the habitation unit. The webbing reached out and I felt it touch me in places outside my suit, moving towards my helmet, but I tried not to panic. I noticed Isha had the same calm demeanor as Ray, and wondered if she knew what we were in for as well.
"Do you think it's possible that Nathan is still alive?" Denise asked, her voice shaky.
Doubtful. Movement came from up ahead and I saw something in the shadows, a shape lurching forward. The thing which came out from the next room clearly once was an astronaut, but it was not Nathan Flanders. A voice rang clearly through my mind and I heard it as a woman speaking softly. Her tone was soft and lifting, almost sing-song. I found myself wanting to go to her as I listened and looked down to see the webbing slime moving up my leg further now, almost to my midsection, crawling up my body and encasing me in it. I tried to back away, but found it was difficult to move suddenly. The yellow gunk had become more tenacious, gripping me and holding me in place like vines.
"Won't you stay with us? Be one of us. Don't you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself?"
she asked inside my mind. Her face came out from the shadows, and I saw now that her entire head was covered with this yellow webbing. It reached in from a crack in her helmet and had spun itself around her features like jaundice cotton candy. A mask of it covered her face, but it was translucent enough to see through in some places. The tendrils of yellow slime webbing had enveloped her body and it carried her across the floor towards us, as if she was floating upon a cloud.
"What did you do to the rest of them?" I heard myself asking aloud.
"We needed nourishment. It was such a long sleep, but now we are well fed and looking for more hosts. If you want to live here, this is the only way. If you prefer to die, that can be arranged as well."
Raymond was reaching for something in his bag. I tried not to think about it too much. What was he planning to do? He pulled out a weapon of some kind. I had no idea it even existed, or had been brought up on the journey. But then again, no one had told me we would be fighting ourselves against mutant telepathic slime mold either. The horrifying web-covered astronaut was coming towards us and was close now, only a few meters away in the confined space. Ray squeezed the trigger and the gun let out a blast of reddish-white light like a wide laser beam. It went past our attacker, missing wide. She was closing in now, the webbing bringing her closer like a wicked chariot. He fumbled in his bag for something and pulled out a small square box. Pushing a button on the gun, it ejected a smoking cartridge and I realized he was reloading, but he had almost no time. The horrifying creature was almost within striking distance now. Slamming the fresh battery into its slot, he pulled the trigger just as the web-covered astronaut thing was merely inches from him. The blast ripped a hole through the center of the creature, and she let out a piercing scream which ripped through my mind. It took several moments to quiet, but still lingering like my ears were ringing. Ray pulled out another fresh battery pack out from his bag and changed it from the old one. It seemed the gun was a single fire and needed to be reloaded after each laser burst. Still, it was a weapon. Another top secret military project, I guessed. The possessed astronaut woman was lying on the ground, twitching and writhing, moaning in pain. Raymond walked over towards her and pointed the weapon at her head, then pulled the trigger once again. At point-blank range, it obliterated the head of the possessed astronaut, putting her out of her misery and stopping her never-ending torment. I shuddered at the thought of having my body controlled by a parasitic creature, controlling me like a puppet. This horrifying mental image rattled me badly, especially when I looked down at my hands and feet to see them being covered by the exact same stuff.
"Enough, Ray. We're lucky to be alive after that. Now can we please get the hell out of here?"
Raymond looked at me in the eyes and loaded a fresh battery into his gun. "Not even close. We have to keep moving. We have to get to the source of it. I have coordinates.
It'll be down in the caverns below the HAB unit.
Are you insane? We don't even know if there is a source to this madness. And even if it exists, we'll never get to it. Look at this crap. It's all over our suits. Pretty soon it'll be covering our visors and we won't even be able to see anything. We'll die down here, just like the last crew. Let's get topside now, and if we're lucky, the sun will kill it off for us.
Suddenly, the slime mold sprang to life again, whipping its tendrils at us and then starting to squeeze my legs painfully like a boa constrictor. I tried to lift them up and to turn around, and it felt like I was stuck in molasses. It took every ounce of my strength to turn away from him and start heading back towards the ladder.
If you two want to live, I suggest you come with me. He's got a death wish,
I muttered over the radio to Denise and Isha as I moved past them into the confined space. They looked hesitant to leave Raymond alone down there. Before I could get away, the webbing grabbed me with one long tendril from behind and started wrapping me up like vines. It went under my arms and around my waist, then around my neck, trying to squeeze the helmet off my head so we could get to my flesh.
It's got me! I screamed. Help!
Denise grabbed a blade from the supply bag she was carrying and went to work sawing off the tendrils that had wrapped themselves around me.
Hang on, I got you!
Meanwhile, Isha moved past and caught up with Raymond, her face looking hurried and uncaring of my predicament.
Leave them, Raymond said to her, and she nodded.
They stepped over the astronaut's corpse and continued through the HAB towards the back end where it led towards the caverns, to the source. I screamed at them, cursed at both of them, knowing now that they had been aware all along. They had both been briefed on what was really happening here, things that I hadn't known until just then. Denise was cutting at the ropes of webbing that was holding me there, but every time she cut one loose, another grabbed a hold.
It's hopeless, I said to her. Just go. Get back to the ship and tell them what happened. Tell them this place is a lost cause. It's a death sentence for anyone who comes here.
Her face was still determined, her eyes focused. She suddenly got one of my arms free and handed me the knife, grabbing another one by her belt.
I'm not leaving you, so shut up and cut.
I turned my body away from the wall as she cut the strands holding my waist free. Now it was the only arm that was still wrapped up in the webbing. It pulled at me and crushed my arm painfully as I tried to pull away. Screaming, I cut haphazardly at it, hacking and sawing with reckless abandon. Denise was cutting at another large piece, and although more came to wrap around me, we had the upper hand now. Slashing at them with every ounce of energy we had, I finally managed to pull myself free.
See? Told you, Denise said, smirking. Now come on, let's get out of this hellhole.
We were both semi-covered in this yellow webbing, which was now feeling heavy and cumbersome on my legs and hands as it expanded and purposefully slowed us down, resisting our every movement. The control panel was covered in the stuff, but I remembered suddenly from my training that there was a manual release up at the hatch door. It had been installed in an event of a power failure. I managed to reach the ladder and looked back at Denise just behind me. Beginning to climb was difficult, the yellow slime mold sticking to my boots and sucking me back down like wet cement. With an extreme effort, I got my boot up on the first ladder ring and began to climb. The hatch door wouldn't open at first. It didn't help that I was terrified and full of panic, suddenly forgetting all of my training. I began to slam my fist against it, mad with fear, unable to focus. Slime mold was building up on my visor now, covering it so I couldn't see. My breathing was coming fast, and I found myself hyperventilating, feeling like I was drowning in it. Finally, my fingers found a latch and I pulled, feeling the satisfying click of it opening. Sunlight spewed in as I swung it open and climbed up into the air. The yellowish webbing began to retreat from the light, recoiling and peeling back from my visor like it was melting. It preferred the darkness. Denise and I managed to get back to the landing craft. I got back inside after making sure that we had gotten rid of all the stuff from our suits. Immediately, we sent a transmission back to base, explaining what had happened. After waiting a long while, they answered back.
Any word from Raymond or Isha? Did they set off their device? You would have felt a tremor, like a small earthquake.
So that was their plan? Some sort of device to destroy the stuff at its source?
I still didn't understand why they didn't just tell us the truth, but then I supposed I probably wouldn't have gone if they had. Perhaps the device was some sort of bomb that would make the organism inert and harmless. Or maybe Raymond and Aisha were going to sacrifice themselves to set it off. Either way, I was glad I'd gotten out in time. I responded back to base. No, we haven't heard from them, and we haven't felt anything yet. But then, a moment later, we did feel something. An explosion from beneath us. The ground caved in below the landing vessel, and we were thrown into the wall as the entire landing craft plunged down into a huge sinkhole that had just been made. When everything settled, I opened my eyes to see Raymond and Aisha staring at us through the window of the landing vessel, in the darkness the yellow slime mold still covering their suits. It was on their visors now, and it had found a way inside onto their faces and their eyes, mouths, nostrils, and ears. They were being controlled by the parasite slime mold now. It was governing their actions, and they had used the device designed to destroy it to instead bring us down below, into the darkness, where we would be vulnerable to it. We held the doors closed as they pulled on the latch, trying to get inside the ship. There was a steel rod which we managed to wedge the door closed with, at least for now. Still, it wouldn't hold forever. I could already see the yellowish webbing sneaking in through the edges of the door, punching through the weak points in the hull and growing vine-like into our living space. It is spreading and moving towards us steadily, to our cramped spot in the corner where we watch them encroaching. There's still people at NASA who want the public to know the truth, to know about this cover-up. They said that they would get this out for us, one way or another. Because they know as well as I do, the Red Planet is damned. And the human race should never return here.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.